The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. This is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. And of course, Sirius XM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. That right there is Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Hey, yo, how we doing?
I'm good. It's happening. NBA draft. You got NBA draft fever?
I'm pumped, man. I am more excited about this draft than I have been the past couple years. I don't really know why.
You have more bets on it.
It's more bets, but then it's also the, I mean, we know how this works in the betting world. It's the fun, but also fear of being so aligned with so many other people.
Yeah.
And, I know we're going to get into it a lot today, but there were some trades yesterday that I don't know if they helped us out or not.
On the show today, by the way, Luke Swain to talk NBA draft with us momentarily. Will Hill, any bets he has, NBA draft, MLB and beyond. We'll talk Rocket Classic Golf as we go country clubbing. Dallin Cuff from ESPN, some NBA draft and soccer. And we got you covered NBA draft again with Zach Cohen. And maybe he's got some tennis, too, on the grass. Greatest two words in sports, Kelly. Bad Hamburg. That's going on in Germany.
Why don't they ever play it? Good Hamburg.
I know. People say game seven. I always go bad Hamburg. It's my thing. And we'll talk NFL. Most wins, fewest wins. We finally get around to this today. We were trying to do it earlier. We had other things we wanted to talk about. We'll get around to it today.
Hey, there's plenty of summer. We'll get to it when we get to it.
That's right. And I want to talk. I made a baseball bet. We'll get to momentarily as well. Great game this morning, which I want to talk about. But about those two NBA trades, the Celtics get rid of more salary. So Kristaps Porzingis, three-way deal, is dealt. Celtics now get under the what they call the second apron, which I hear people using. They never really explain it. Second apron, for those who don't know, is simply another level of tax. Another level where teams would have to pay above already a luxury tax. So Celtics are now below that. Celtics get George Niang, a second-round pick. Nets get Terrence Mann and the number 22 pick in this deal. And the Hawks are the recipients of Porzingis and a second-round pick. By the way, interestingly there, the Nets now have five first-round picks tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Was there something about this that said that might affect our bets, is what you're saying?
This one, I think the Pelicans-Wizards one may be a little bit more interesting because they pick one after another. We saw McCollum go get traded to the Wizards yesterday. I just have a hard time believing that those two teams had a conversation about a trade and there wasn't like a, hey, by the way, we picked right behind you. What are you doing with pick number six? So I don't know. We'll see, and I think there's plenty more to come today with some of these because there are teams. No, you kind of hit on mainly what I was thinking. Between Brooklyn, between Oklahoma City, a lot of these teams that we can see package a bunch of their picks together to move up, how does that possibly shift? Because we've been so focused on that 3-8 range, right? And it being wide open.
Hey, man, my draft comes down to if Con Knepel goes 4, good night, everybody. My work is done here.
I mean, I'm with you. That's the biggest position I have.
That's really all it comes down to. I don't really care what happens after that. Go top five, but if you go number four, there's your winner. There's your winning draft.
I did finally get a bet. I was able to. That Hawks trade came down though, Gil. You know I got a Hawks problem. I'm in. I got them. I beat the number move. So I grabbed a 55-1 on the Hawks to win the East when that news came down yesterday.
Oh, look at you.
East is wide open. I'm not saying this Hawks team is stacked or anything, but Jalen Johnson's awesome. He's going to be back healthy next year. You got Trae Young. You got Kristaps Porzingis. You got some pieces that you can build around that team. They could put up a fight. See what else they can do.
Boy, did we get the best of it with Knepel numbers. Even money to go top five. He's now like minus 1,000 to go top five or something like
that. Yes, sir.
And then to go fourth, exactly, he's minus 170.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
The best comment I heard about the Brewers. Where did I get the Brewers? The best comment I heard about the Wizards yesterday was someone put up a picture of Marcus Smart, CJ McCollum now, and Chris Middleton. And they said, look, it's an aging R&B band that lost its masters that still needs to tour. That's the greatest laugh. You are Washington Wizards, everybody. By the way, the terms of that deal, McCollum and Kelly Olynyk, your boy.
The clinic.
Second round pick go to the Wizards. Pelicans get Jordan Poole, Sadiq Bey, and the number 40 pick of the draft. And by the way, when Kelly sent us this this text yesterday that Sadiq Bey went to the Pelicans, it started, what would you say, a 5-hour childish thing for me, Felica, and Will.
That- I was telling Wyatt all about it before the show as I'm sitting there recording long shots, new long shots up now. And of course, halfway through long shots yesterday, my internet just completely crashed. So I'm sitting there at the desk getting frustrated as hell. And I'm like, don't worry, fellas. I'm still getting all these texts. Mm-hmm. No problem.
Yeah, we didn't learn our lesson. It basically started by me saying, Rafael Saadiq went to the Pelicans. And that was the end of that. All right. Baseball today. I don't usually talk about first of all, full day baseball. Love Wednesdays. Don't usually seize on a game this morning or any Wednesday morning. But I do this morning because 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Is it 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific? I believe I have those times correct. It is the Pirates going up against the Brewers. The only reason I mentioned this last night, speaking of NBA draft fever, did you have Chase Burns fever after last night?
Let's
with the
go.
Reds?
I did see a couple innings of it. 11:10 first pitch Pacific.
11:10 Pacific. That's right. 2:10 p.m. Eastern for the Pirates and Brewers, which we'll get to momentarily. But Chase Burns of the Reds yesterday against the Yankees, only pitcher last 50 years to strike out the first five batters he faced in his MLB debut. Ended up striking out 7 in 3 innings, and then he got in the fourth. Reds end up winning it in extras, 5-4. I believe it was an 11 or 12 last night where they won it in 5-4. Burns with that sort of sexy debut there, the first 3 innings anyway. He on the heels now. He's the shortest shot besides Jacob Mizurowski of the Brewers for National League Rookie of the Year, just like that. Burns was 100-1. Whew. A few days ago, before they said they were going to call him up, Will Hill got him at 100-1.
Oh, good for Will.
Listen, I don't know if 7 strikeouts in 3 innings before he got is going to get you an NL Rookie of the Year, but nonetheless, pretty good number, 100-1. But Mizurowski is the only one shorter. Actually, Drake Baldwin's actually shorter, according to this graphic. But Mizurowski is plus 150, and Mizurowski is plus 150 based on 11 innings of work where he has given up a grand total of 1 hit. Now, that hit was a home run against the Twinkies. Walner went deep on him. But Mizurowski, 11 innings pitched, 1 hit. Remember, he had a perfect game into the 7th before Walner of the Twins homered off of him his last outing. His first outing, he went 5 hits of no-hit ball before they pulled him. So he's taking on Paul Skenes today in the Brewers-Pirates matchup this morning. Skenes, he of the 1.85 ERA, the 175 batting average against, and the 0.88 whip. Cool whip.
Whip.
This is a coin toss. Really, just a coin flip here today in this ball game. The total, this is what I'm interested in. The total is, pardon me, 6.5. Now, the story with baseball totals is such that books are only willing to reduce it a certain amount. There is an artificial floor to totals in baseball. Even when, you know, Timmy Lincecum was taking on Doc Holliday in the, in the National League Division Series back in the day,
yep,
they would only bring it down a certain amount. And so, as bettors, if you are buying into Skenes and if you are buying into Mizurowski, know that that is not as low probably as it needs to be. Really depends on your conviction on the two hitters, but just wanted to throw that out there as a sort of baseball tenet. When this sort of thing happens, it's not like they're going to move it to 5.5.
So it's also the old, like when I used to bet baseball, Gil, like the automatic when you see a total that low is to go look at the run line of like catching plus 1.5. Like obviously the odds are adjusted there as well, but that plus 1.5 becomes so much more valuable, right? With every half run you go down.
Yeah. I did make a baseball wager yesterday, a futures play.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll file it under the category of, you know, I just want to have this just in case. And this has to do with the National League MVP. Mark Borchardt came on here last week, and he said, "Yo, I got, I'm really about Ketel Marte." And I didn't really, you know, I was like, oh, okay, I'll get around to it. And Shohei, obviously, the favorite of the National League. Remember, we went through the whole thing yesterday about Aaron Judge and Cal Raleigh, and how some folks all of a sudden, because Cal Raleigh hit his 31st and 32nd homers the other night, were like, oh, Raleigh, all of a sudden, MVP. And I put up the slash numbers, and I'm like, oh, easy, everybody. Unless Raleigh does something absolutely ridiculous home run-wise, which is still possible, and Judge doesn't, maybe that's the path for Raleigh to get MVP. But otherwise, it's Judge all across the board. But I did mention yesterday, I go, but it does make me start to think about NL MVP again, which is to say that I do buy into the theory that if Shohei doesn't have some sort of standout pitching year that voters will take the opportunity to say, hey, you know what? We're going to have to give this guy MVP in subsequent years when he does have big pitching years to go along with his work at the plate, of course. So maybe this is the year where they go away from Shohei. And so I bet, not Starling Marte, we got the name wrong here. This is not Starling Marte of the Mets, guys. This is Ketel Marte of the Diamondbacks. Okay, I did not, let's just get that clear. I did not bet Starling Marte. I bet Ketel Marte of the Diamondbacks yesterday at 90-1. 90-1 at William Hill Caesars. And they took a bet, too. By the way, as it was spinning, I loudly was like, you know, as if the guy who's deciding it in upstairs or elsewhere in town could hear me. I'm like, this can't possibly win. It's going to be Shohei. Just give it to me. Why don't you give me double the amount?
There you go. Come on.
Anyway, Marte was hurt earlier this year. Hip, hamstring, he had an illness. So he's about 100 plate appearances behind both Shohei and Pete Crow Armstrong of the Cubbies. But when you look at the sort of on-pace stats or the ones that don't have to do with counting stats, I should say, OPS, Marte, 1.032, Otani, 1.014, Pete Crow Armstrong, 873. Weighted on base, WOBA, Marte, 437, Otani, 422, Pete Crow, 370. WAR, according to Fangraphs, Marte, 0.567, Pete Crow Armstrong, 0.513, Shohei, 0.5. The only thing that Shohei has Ketel Marte beaten is the pace of home runs. One home run every 13.5 plate appearances for Shohei. One home run every 15.3 plate appearances for Ketel Marte. Pete Crow worse than Marte on that. So I just want to have that 90-1 because if this just manifests the rest of the year, you never know. Coming back.
The Sports Betting Network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now, you can check out Greg Peterson's MLB Best Bets. Let's get hoops on here, for God's sakes. Come on. Zach Cohen's Draft Betting Primer for the NBA Draft tonight. And Wes Reynolds, the Rocket Classic Picks. I like how the people over there are like, let's call it a classic.
I had to do a deep dive on that. Don't even get me started.
Oh, really?
Is that true? Well, it used to be the Rocket Mortgage Classic, yeah. Rocket Classic. Not a true change in sponsors because they just rebranded the name, basically, of the company.
Thank you, sir. I like a good sponsor deep dive there.
Yeah.
Later today, you can check out Steve Mackinnon's MLB Picks, Power Ratings, Betting Trends, Lou Finicaro's UFC Preview and Picks, and NBA Draft Best Bets all across the board. Right now, you can sign up for as little as $9.99 to get full access to all VSiN articles. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Nick Kendhammer, if I win that free entry to the Winner's Circle proxy thing, I was going to ask for you to be my VSiN strategist so LFG and actually win. Oh, sure. We'll actually get there. Get you the promised land. No problem. No problem at all.
I might have received multiple tweets yesterday about whether or not I could rig it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whether you could rig it?
Yeah, the drawing, contest. Yeah.
By the way, we're referring to, we have a contest to get a free entry to either Circa Survivor or Circa Millions. And, yeah, Kelly can't rig it.
No. See, I don't even know how it's being done yet. So.
Eric Biggio from Will Hill. Most MLB team wins for July up and active.
Boom.
Oh, my God, I haven't even looked. Johnny Brock. Kelly's over there creating scenarios in his head to add on to NBA draft betting anxiety.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Las Vegas 514. Yo, I got Canepo -110 yesterday to go at pick number 4. Thanks, fellas. Hopefully it pays to listen. Don't worry, I'll still listen if it doesn't win. And Corbin. Good morning, fellas. Curious if you could ask some of your basketball guests where they think Reese Hachette would go in the draft this year, since last year was a very lackluster draft and no one really stood out. And this one seems to have talent layered throughout. That's an interesting question.
Yeah, it is a good question.
Well,
top 10, but probably like in that, I don't know, 6 through 10 range?
He wouldn't be up at the top, that's for sure.
I don't think so. Well, either. It definitely wouldn't be one or two.
But he had a good rookie year.
Yeah. I think there's a lot to be excited about there.
Luke Swain gives us a lot to be excited about. He is a draft Nick of all kinds because a special numbers game investigation reveals that the NHL draft is also this week. It's on Friday, and he might even have thoughts about that. I'm curious. Luke Swain at Vegas Refund joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Luke? What's happening?
Good. Thanks for having me.
NHL draft Friday. Can we just start with this? How is this like? How many books actually have props up for that?
Quite a few. I mean, all of them, honestly, that offer draft offerings. I mean, DraftKings, FanDuel, Rivers, ESPN, Fanatics. Honestly, it's great.
This is where being in Nevada, you're like, oh, all of them. None mentioned here in the state of Nevada. How many bets do you end up with typically in the NHL draft?
It's pretty equal to the NBA draft, honestly. Like right now, I think I have 8.
Wow. Can you give
us... Probably we'll add a few more in the next couple of days.
Can you give us one that still sort of exists that people can latch onto?
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot.
My bad. Names aren't quite as quite as easy. All right, we'll come back to that.
We'll come back to that.
I'm just pulling up some of Luke's records right now. 9-4 last year in the NHL draft and the NBA draft.
There you go.
A little over 40 units in both.
What's wrong with that? All right, how's this going to go at the top? Besides 1-2... which are going to be Flagg and Harper, we all believe. It starts at 3. What do you think happens from there?
So, I hate talking trades. I think I say I hate talking trades every time I come on the show, but we've had 3 trades in the last, 4 days. So, it's definitely way more relevant, especially in the NBA draft. And with that trade that the Nets made yesterday, where now they have, literally 5 first-round picks, I think it is in pretty good realm of possibilities that the Nets would be live to trade into, let's just say, the top 4 for, you would assume, Ace Bailey. Right now, Cavoni and Wasserman, who are two of the 4 core guys that I pay attention to, came out with the same exact top 10, which probably the most notable.
Wow. Same exact guy top in that, 10. Yeah.
Yeah. Which the most notable guy I want to say is Trey Johnson, who's been somewhat of a consensus top 5 guy, probably the least talked about top 5 guy that I can remember. They both had him falling to 8, which if you looked at his probably exact odds last week to 7 or 8, you're probably looking in the 8 to 9, maybe even 10 to 1 or better, which clearly is cratered down. But that's probably the most notable movement, I guess, in the mocks. But for me, I think it's VJ3, Con4, Fears5 definitely has legs right now. And then it gets a little bit weird where 6, I think, is Ace's 4.
Wizards, Ace Bailey. That's what we were wondering yesterday. And repeat again, for those who missed it, who was it that crashed from 10 to 1 to go 8 or 9? Who was that?
Trey Johnson. So out of Texas.
Trey Johnson. Okay.
Yeah, he was kind of penciled in for the Jazz for a long time at 5. If you wanted to bet number 8 exact on him right now, he is still 10 to 1 out there.
What?
There you go.
There you go. Is that the best bet that's still available right now? Or what other ones are there that folks could, that hasn't moved, that is still in pocket that you might suggest?
So last night, DraftKings came out with exact pick odds all the way to pick 20, which, if you're just getting to the draft now and you want to have some fun, I think this is probably where you want to go. They put up a bunch of over-unders as well, but the exact pick odds, I think, are probably the best value at this point, where Baron J, who is out of France, is super rumored to the Spurs, where trades can definitely mess all of these up. But Baron J to go to the Spurs at 14, I think, is a good bet, which is about 5 to 1. A really good long shot I wrote down, and this is really based off of, 3 Bulls beat reporters. All 3 of them really have mocked the same guy to the Bulls, and that is Sorber out of Georgetown. And for him to go pick 12 for the Bulls, it's about 20 to 1 right now. I think it was 25 to 1 last night. I mean, this really is just going off of Bulls beat reporters who clearly know, and he's definitely a guy that is trending up. And it does seem like a year where big men and centers are getting dragged to the front of the draft, whether that is just a transition in how the NBA is moving to the 2 bigs or just the bigs being clearly better and somewhat of a weaker class when we get deep.
So Sorber 12 to the Bulls, Berger 14 to the Spurs. Okay.
And I think Wolf to go 16, which I think is 10 to 1, maybe. I believe is another good one. Vicini just updated his mock and has Wolf to go to the Memphis at 16. which Wolf is another guy that you hear mentioned even in the top 10 sometimes, which his top 10 odds got destroyed yesterday.
Yeah, but 16 to 1 on that.
There you go.
All right, so easy to remember. 12, 14, 16, even numbers. Sorber, 12, Berenger, 14, Wolf, 16. What is the, let's do the worst case scenario thing here. Obviously, trades primarily can blow stuff up. But, like, what's the specific, what's your biggest investment for us? Just give you an example. Con Knepel going top five, Con Knepel specifically going number four. What is your biggest position?
So in terms of like my biggest buying an island position would be Walter Clayton Jr. to go top 20, which that was one I got super invested in early on when the odds came out. Probably pick 10 is where things are going to either go north or south pretty quickly for me, where Derek Queen going 10 would probably be pretty bad for me, which I was on his over 10.5 and felt pretty good about until that trade happened. The market with Derek Queen is super interesting. If you read the mocks, he's definitely one of the guys that's always getting mentioned to go 10, but the markets just aren't agreeing. I saw his under get bet yesterday and then immediately after the over got bet. So the public space kind of thinks Derek Queen's a favorite to go 10, but the betting markets don't agree, which is super surprising to me because they usually are correlated. But number 10 and then Walter Jr. to go top 20. Are the two big ones for me.
Okay. And then between NFL, NBA, and NHL, which do you enjoy betting the most? Which has been the most successful for you here recently in recent years?
Well, this past NFL draft was probably my best. NBA, I probably enjoy the most because it's less mainstream. The info is somewhat more rock solid, at least it has been. It might not be this year. Who knows? I could be jinxing it. But NFL I enjoy the most, but NBA is probably the one that I invest in the most.
All right.
Equal. I love them all. I mean, even the MLB draft.
And are you, by the way, do you bet the actual seasons at all? I mean this seriously. I don't even know that you do. You do. Okay.
I do.
All right. I was NFL, just curious.
Mainly football.
I was curious if you were like the Mel Kiper of draft betting, where you like, then you disappear for the rest of the year. Those are great, man. So Sorber 12 to the Bulls, Berenger 14 to the Spurs, Wolf 16. Who's at 16 again for Wolf?
Memphis.
All right. Those are interesting. Luke, thank you for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Luke Swain, everybody, at Vegas Refund, all of his draft stuff over there. Successful in all three sports. We'll try to coax an NHL bet out of him here on the break, and we'll get it to you if you're interested in the Friday draft. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Unmatched transparency with records updated daily. It's the Sharp Plays. We invite you to check them out. They've got AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. That's sharpplays.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Best listeners in the game, Kelly Billen. Have I ever mentioned that before?
Mm-hmm.
Zachary Singleton, I had a question. I'm seeing Con Knepel top five at minus 1,200 now at BetUS and heard Gil say it's minus 1,000 where he had access. And I'm seeing others north of minus 1,000. I've got minus 250 on a credit shop. Is it still value to lay that wood on something like an information-based bet? It's a great question, but I'm going to say no on minus 250, just me, because it is one of these things where you just never know. And the point is the price on all of this stuff. So I wouldn't, but I get the question because you're seeing it at such a cartoonish number. I don't know how you feel about that, Kelly, but I would not go minus 250.
I don't hate it, but if there were less questions in my mind about these teams like Brooklyn and Oklahoma City trading up,
then you'd say yes.
I would say yes, yeah. Play it.
That's the thing. There's always a chance that this stuff gets blowed up, as they say. 3JackH3131. Where do I sign up for this chance to win with Gil? Oh, and Kelly, what's your Venmo? Wink, wink. By the way, again, what he's referring to here is the winnerscircleproxy.com VSIN contest again, where they're giving away a free entry into Circa Survivor or Circa Million, $21 million in guaranteed prizes. We, by the way, the deadline to enter is tonight at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. So 11:59 Eastern, 8:59 Pacific. Deadline tonight to enter at winnerscircleproxy.com/vsin to be eligible to get the free entry, which we will announce the winner of this Friday.
That's right.
On a numbers game right here. This is from Kevin Bender. Random question, but do you think the NBA makes more money? Oh, this is a good question. From an OKC Indiana game seven finals or seven game finals or a Lakers Knicks finals the same year that ends in a 4-0 sweep? Oh, this is a great question. So this was the lowest rated NBA finals since 2007 when the Spurs swept the Cavs. But game seven was the most watched NBA finals game in 6 years because it's a game seven, right? 19.3 million viewers game seven. So that boosted it. So anytime you go to seven, you do get an artificial bump. But four Lakers-Knicks games, I don't know. Because you're only averaging. These seven games only averaged around 10 million a game when you throw it all in.
Who are we calling the NBA is the big
question. So you'd have
like just the league?
You'd have to average what? What's that? 17 and a half a game for a Lakers-Knicks game if it was a sweep. I probably think the seven game series edges it out.
Yeah, it's also not like it's not even just that straightforward of math, right? Because you're talking about way more commercial inventory and all that stuff that these guys get to run.
Yeah, we got more questions for folks.
TV answers for you.
Minky Monkey Man says, really enjoy the NBA draft insight from Luke, but he mentioned DraftKings had individual pick order bets up to number 20, but they only have to 10 offered.
Depends what state you're
state
in.
State by state. And Ace DiCardano, Gil's been spending a lot of time with Fezzik lately. How do I know he won't steer me wrong in the Circus Sports Survivor for the free $1,000? Hashtag game theory. What you are suggesting is that I would lead you astray to benefit Steve Fezzik. I resent that remark. I would never do such a thing. And by the way, Fezzik would help you too, because Fezzik's not worried about folks. He's that arrogant.
He's not at all.
Fezzik doesn't need the extra. Will Hill joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill, host of the Should Have Bet More podcast, also co-host of the Megapod, and Chris Felica's Bear Bets Empire over there at Fox Sports. How you doing?
Gilly, Kelly, happy draft day. What's going on? How are you guys?
We're doing very well. Do you have NBA draft bets as well? Are you doing this?
I do. I don't know that there's a ton that I would sit here right now and completely recommend, but I was more taking stabs at guys. Like, I know, you know, the 10th pick and even the 9th pick with a possible trade is, those top 10 markets. Will this guy be a top 10 pick? I took a shot on Wolf at some longer prices at 30, 41. I don't know that. It's hard because in Connecticut, it's not here, so I can't check this stuff regularly. It's all offshore, and those stuff that stuff comes up and goes down. So it's harder. I don't know. It's harder. I just, I was sitting in this same spot 3 years ago, the day of the draft, the morning of the draft. I remember that day very well. That was the Palo draft.
Yes.
And I remember monitoring the odds all day, and that was Woj insisting it wasn't Palo, it was Jabari Smith, and the market disagreeing, and it was this push and pull. I remember I didn't look away from my phone for more than a minute that day. It was just a fascinating day in terms of the market. And then, finally minutes before the draft, Woj almost like a politician conceding election. He's, all right, it's actually going to be Palo. He admitted it, and it wasn't even that. I think he worded it like, Palo has surged ahead in the race. Like, okay, yeah. 5 minutes before they just decided to pick Palo. But I don't know. There's just the books are not as willing to play ball here and post stuff. I'm in a state, again, in Connecticut where they don't even post it. So for me, it's offshore. And to the books, I don't know if it's the fact that game seven went until Sunday and we only have a 2-day break. I think the Palo draft was really a watershed moment here because the books got beat on it. They got beat badly. And they said, you know what? We don't need to do this. We'll win on baseball. We'll win on games. We're not winning on the draft, so we're just going to take our ball and go home. So I've got stuff. I've got some action, but I would use this as a reminder. If you're making a lot of bets and it's all based on how you think the draft is going to go, it's very correlated. So if one thing goes wrong, and this is somebody who, I lost a lot of money because after the Travis Hunter trade, and I was set up in really good shape with great closing line value, and I felt good about it the night of the draft a couple months ago in the NFL. The Hunter trade happens and all those dominoes, all those puzzle pieces, get misplaced and then you kind of lose them all. So these are all correlated. So I haven't gone crazy with it, even if I lost everything tonight, which I don't think will happen. I wouldn't get crushed, but I don't know. I guess my takeaway is it's harder. And I think the Palo day a few years ago was really a key moment in all this.
You're so right. Total domino effect. And I'm glad you brought up the Banchero draft, Banchero going number one to the Magic because, and I don't know, you guys can chime in on this. Was there a better sports betting day? Like, was there a more memorable sports betting day in anything? I know, obviously, we've all had our moments where we won lots of money on a specific day. But I'm just saying, as a case study of sports betting versus the market or versus the mainstream media, was there ever a better day than that? It was phenomenal.
If the story, like if you could get the truth from everybody involved, the bettors, the Magic, just everybody, the bookmakers, if you could have like a 30 for 30 where everyone was just had truth serum and had to tell the truth, which I don't think will ever happen, I think you'd have a hell of a story. I don't know for sure what happened. We've all heard the rumors of, you know, misinformation, misdirection. Maybe it came from the Magic. Maybe the Magic people, you know, in the room had some incentive, and who knows what happened. But I'm sure if you could get the truth, that would be a fascinating. You could almost make a movie out of it.
It made sense from a basketball standpoint, too. That's what I was arguing at the time. But yes, somebody in the Magic organization must have leaked to a bunch of folks, or at least to one person, who then leaked it.
Well, not just that, but leaked it to Woj and leaked it the wrong way, because Woj was, you know, pounding the table that it's not going to be Paolo. So there was maybe a little incentive that, hey, if Woj is certain that it's Paolo and he keeps saying it's not Paolo, you know, some people might get a better number. Again, who knows what exactly happened, but that was, like you said, a fascinating day.
Poor Woj. And you wonder with Woj if that was in all of his decision making as to why he left the game. I wonder if what factor that was, right? That was just one item that probably he will remember as, you know, a reason to disappear from this gig.
I miss him so much. Injury reporting has not been the same.
No.
It has not been the same.
Yeah. Are you being serious, or are you being sarcastic?
I'm being dead serious.
I'm making sure.
Yeah. For NBA regular season bettors like me, oh, man, his injury information was way better than what we're getting now.
Baseball today, full day, Will, including this Mizorowski Skeens clash here in the morning in Milwaukee. Do you have a play in that game, and do you have a play in anything else?
Yeah, I like the under 7. I don't love the idea of playing these full game unders, because there's so many ways to get railroaded with the bullpens, the extra innings, which I think in a close game, extra innings, you know, not impossible. It's 2-2 after extras, then your bet's in a lot of trouble if it does go to the 10th with the ghost runner. I gave out last night Brewers under 0.5 hits in the first inning, so Brewers not to get a hit, plus 130 on primetime as we were going off the air. That's moved 45 cents, though, so minus 115. Do you still want to play it? I don't love it, obviously, as much 45 cents later, but I do like under 7. And I like the Brewers getting a half a run in the first five. I just think with a low total, we talk about this a lot in our group chat, when you're getting half a run in a game that's supposed to be very low scoring, that's a very valuable half a run, very, very possible, or 1-1 after five, something like that. So, you know, this is more narrative than anything, but I do feel like anytime you get a big time pitching matchup like this, it usually lives up to the hype. Both pitchers are fired up for it. Both pitchers know, hey, I can't give up more than a run or two, or I'm going to lose. I can remember some classic, you know, Kershaw Lincecum battles back in the day where the total was like 5.5 and 6. And very often it would be 1-0 or 2-1. I'm sure you remember those games. Mm-hmm. So I think both pitchers live up to the hype. Mizorowski's the real deal. 6'8", the extension, which I think is an underrated stat. If you're into baseball metrics, the extension for these 6'7", 6'8" pitchers, you can see it at Baseball Savant. They can measure the extension they get. It just creates so much deception. And when you're throwing 102 and your arm is that much closer to the hitter, your hand is that much closer to the hitter, there's a stat now, perceived velocity, and Mizorowski's through the charts with that. We know how good Skeens is. So I'm excited for that. I played DeGrom first five money line against the Orioles. Big pitching advantage there. And I also played the Angels first five money line. Fitz going against the Angels, gave up 5 runs and 3 homers last time he faced
them. Do you feel like we're a dying breed who loves like pitching matchups like this?
I feel like baseball's had a nice little resurgence the past year or two because people are betting so much. It's every day, so it's possible, but I don't think baseball's in as bad a shape as we think.
I hope not. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it. Golf next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, so here's what everybody was tweeting about here yesterday and today thus far. If you're just tuning in and you're like, wait, what is this? All right, time is running out. You got to enter to win a free entry into the Circa Survivor or Circa Million contest, proxy service included, with $21 million in guaranteed prizes up for grabs. Deadline to enter is tonight, 11:59 p.m. Eastern. That's 8:59 Pacific. Winners will be announced live this Friday right here on a numbers game. As A-N-G. A-N-G, Kelly.
As in a numbers game.
And they'll get exclusive strategy access to me all season long. How about that?
Let's go.
Don't get my phone number, though. We'll figure out another way. Go to winnerscircleproxy.com/vsin to enter now. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/vsin. Free entry, Circa Millions, Circa Survivor, free proxy service, vsin host. That's me for season-long strategery. Oh. Are we going to have a big reveal? Are we going to have a big musical entry to that?
Yeah, we'll have to figure it out. We have a big meeting about it after the show today.
Oh, well, that's right. By the way, I have tennis at 10. I hope that doesn't go too long.
I would assume it's a 5-minute conversation.
We get tweets. Paul M. So you say there's not going to be a 15-minute segment on the NHL draft tomorrow or Friday, huh? Okay. By the way, did we get Luke to chime in on an NHL property?
Still waiting.
Luke is being very close to the vest on that one. Colin Murphy. Walter Clayton Jr., -190 to be a top 20 pick on most books, but over-under position on Fanatics, 22.5, -105. Rick Ollier, Halliburton this, SGA that. Can we talk about the game number 45 put together in a winner-take-all game at the end of Teen Wolf? Sure, Rick Ollier. We'll talk about that. 8 points, 2 boards, 3 blocks, 1 length of the court outlet pass leading to a score. He said Michael Jordan won MVP, but not without an asterisk, in my opinion. Thoughts? What? There's a lot going on there.
That's a movie I haven't seen in a long time.
Michael J. Fox, right?
Is it worth firing back up? Was it that good? That's kind of how I feel, too. That's how I remember it.
Rick Ollier seems to think so.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It was revolutionary technology at the time to watch Michael J. Fox transform into a werewolf.
It doesn't get better than that.
Was he a werewolf? Or he was just a wolf, right?
That was in the same time period, I believe, where Bill Bixby as the Incredible Hulk turned into the Hulk because you didn't want to get him mad. Didn't want to get him angry. Imagine the whole Hulk conceit. Bill Bixby would get angry. He would turn into this large green monster, and then he'd have to leave town because he couldn't be seen because everybody knew he has the propensity, he has the penchant for turning into a large green monster.
It's tough being Hulk.
End of every episode, there used to be a TV show, The Incredible Hulk, end of every episode with really soft music, he'd have to walk out of town. It's fantastic.
It's also the biggest
in the 80s, everybody.
In the Marvel movies, I'm pretty sure the Hulk ones were the biggest duds. And they kept, remember, they had to keep changing Hulks. It was Edward Norton was one of them. Mark Ruffalo was one of them. There was four different actors that played the Hulk from 2005 for the on.
Did those actors, were those actors also the Hulk when he turned into the green monster?
Yes.
Oh, because on the TV show, Bill Bixby, an actor, he played, was it Bruce Tanner as the Incredible Hulk, if I'm not mistaken? Wow, where did I pull that from?
Something like that. Bruce Banner.
Bruce Banner. The big green monster would be Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, no. They use technology with that. No.
Okay, gotcha.
Ruffalo just looks like the Hulk.
Glad we cleared that up. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to go country clubbing right here on the Numbers Game. Oh, yeah. Ben Wilson's family.
Yeah. Uncle Mike. All right, Gil.
Rocket Classic.
Get it right. It's the Rocket Mortgage Classic. This ain't your father's Rocket Mortgage Classic, okay? This is the Rocket Classic.
It's not even your older brother's Rocket Mortgage Classic.
Yeah, that's right. Back to Birdie Fest. We haven't had one in a while, so just going to lead with that. This is a shorter betting card for me.
It's been so long.
It actually has been a little while. Top of the odds board, we do have some good players playing this weekend, so that is exciting. Colin Morikawa, at least big names. Colin Morikawa, your short shot, 12-1. Patrick Cantlay, 16-1. Both those guys with some work to do this season. Really haven't put it all together, so that's kind of why you're seeing these guys play in these type of tournaments, and probably will for the next few weeks before we get to the Open. Dude's trying to put together a season. Hideki's in here as well, but it's Morikawa 12-1, Cantlay 16-1. Keegan, after that win last week, is 18-1. Ben Griffin, who just can't stop finishing outside of the top 25, is 22-1. Cameron Young, 25-1. Everybody else, 30-1 or longer. We are at the Detroit Golf Club, 156 players, top 65 and ties. This is wide open off the tee, 35-yard wide fairways, Gil. This is a bomber's paradise. Bomb it down there. Use some wedges into some smaller greens. Not the easiest greens to putt on, but as with most birdie fests, you're going to usually see the winner be one of the best putters of the week. So you're looking for guys that do have some distance off the tee. Up and down, with good approach game. Get up and down for a par or birdies on almost every single one of these holes. Recent winners, we've seen 18 under, 24 under, 26 under, 23 under, 25 under win this thing. And if you're watching at home right now, it's a wide assortment of guys that have gotten it done. Long shots, shorter shot guys. Tony Finau, Ricky Fowler, both shorter odds when they won this event. And then you've had 65 to 1 and 151 Cameron Davis. I was on him in 21, I believe.
Who had Nate Lashley in 2019?
I don't think anybody did. I factored in a lot of distance off the tee, and then good wedge players this week was my biggest thing. But really, more so than anything, you're looking for birdie makers. So I'll start my card. Harry Hall was the shortest guy. I played 36 to 1. Not that long off the tee. What Harry Hall is one of the best putters on the PGA Tour, though, and his approach game has really been good recently. He's gained in the past five events that he's played in. Also, some good results. T9 at the Travelers last week, T24 at the RBC Canadian Open, T6 at the Charles Schwab, top 20 at the PGA Championship. So he's been playing some good golf recently, and one of the better birdie makers in this event, sixth birdie or better in this event. Heading in, and a familiar name to some out there, Keith Mitchell, I'm all over this week once again. And one thing matters. The only thing I care about this week, how do you score? How do you make birdies? He is number one in this field in birdies or better gain. So I am on an outright and top five on him, as well as a top 20. We'll probably be playing first round leader, I'm sure, as well. We'll be digging into those tonight. Max Grazerman making the card this week. Don't get a lot of these on tour, Gil. Where Grazerman is what that profile of player who's good off the tee and then a good putter and kind of struggles in between. You could say Minwoo Lee's a little bit like that. You don't usually typically see that. You see more of the Keith Mitchell types, the guys that are great off the tee, great with their irons, but then can't make a putt to save their lives. So Grazerman on a at an event, and Minwoo Lee did play well here a year ago, at an event where you want distance off the tee, quality play off the tee, and a good putter. He checks all the boxes for him. He's actually been gaining on approach recently, too. So interested in him. Going back to Alex Smalley, bet him a lot early in the year. He had a lot of quality finishes at the beginning of the season. Had a bit of a dip after that. Same sort of thing, though. He's put it together a little better here recently. A T13 at the RBC Canadian Open, T28 in the PGA. This guy, like Keith Mitchell, very good off the tee. He is long off the tee. Will be great with his iron plays coming into these greens. How is he going to putt the ball? That's going to be the big question with him. So there's four outrights this week.
Yeah, those are just to clarify based on the graphic. Those are outright prices. You're just adding top five for all of them.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, if you have each way betting available to you out there, that is how I would be attacking every single outright that I bet. But what I always do is every outright I add a top five onto it, just because you don't want that guy finishing second and you not making any money.
Get on the leaflet, Grazerman.
That's right. And then Ben Griffin. I can't ignore this guy for any longer, Gil. Like I couldn't go outright price at 22 to 1.
What did he end up in the this past week? He was sort of lurking.
T14.
Oh no, I'm not talking about past week. I'm talking about the
T10.
The US Open.
Let's see. I have his I don't have it written down as tournament. The last five events though, T14, T10, second, a win, and T18. So jeez. I believe T10.
Yeah.
So it's just, we've kind of laughed about it on long shots because we always talk about the guys that are constantly like in our top 10 ratings and how we're playing them. And I kind of brought up last week when we were doing the show where I'm like, hey, guys, you know the one dude none of us have mentioned ever? Ben Griffin. Like, when are we going to start believing in this with our money a little bit? So
he's always there.
I'm not playing it outright, but I'm going to go in on a top 20 this week on him.
All right. And like Keith Mitchell, top 20 as well.
Yeah, Keith Mitchell, top 20 as well.
Okay. Speaking of country clubbing, again, Wimbledon begins our time here on this side of the world Sunday night, or I guess it's Sunday night, which will be Monday morning in London. So we are doing a Wimbledon post-draw podcast Friday after a numbers game. Drew Dinsick, Zach Cohen, who will join us here next hour to talk NBA draft with us. Maybe he has some grass court plays today across men's and women's tennis, but it'll be Drew, Zach, and I Friday. Wimbledon post-draw. They do the draw for Wimbledon our time in the middle of the night, right before a numbers game. So right afterwards, we will dissect it and see if we can find some value. I have steered clear mainly. I've not completely sort of followed through on my New Year's resolution of not betting grass, but I'm pretty sparse. I've been pretty sparse on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Wimbledon will be a different story.
You haven't said much.
No, Wimbledon will be a different story. Did well with Wimbledon last year. grass, shortest season there is. We'll come back. Dallin Cuff on the draft. Zach Cohen and more. Coming back. Numbers Game.